Like, we need to Americanize our intro back a little bit and be like, what's up, guys? Welcome back to the Tussock Talks podcast. I'm here, Kieran McCarthy, with Dara Curtin, and today we're talking about this. Because I listened back to, if people are listening to this, I would listen back to episode 2, I think it was, and I introduced it, and it was a bit monotone, and it was like, we're having a bit of fun here, so I might as well like give it a bit of juice, you know.
There is absolutely no way I'm editing that out.
Well, that's fair. We might as well let it roll. I don't care. Like, this is what we're doing. Like, I don't really give a fuck. Like, but all right. Well, we're rolling now, I suppose. So, hello everyone.
We are rolling. We're rolling.
Welcome back to episode 4 now of Tussock Talks. We're recording this on a Sunday just after we've released the first episode. So it's been a bit of a whirlwind the last kind of week. We've had some good traction on the Instagram videos, and then on Friday as well, we've got a good few people listening to the first episode. So yeah, how have you been finding that, Dara?
Yeah, it's kind of cool. It's cool seeing people's reaction, and I love when people text who mightn't necessarily you might necessarily know, or like they might not necessarily know me, or you know, text me on a regular basis, and then they say something like, I like this point, or I enjoy the podcast or whatever. And I think it is cool hearing that, like, it really is. And obviously it's such a small scale, like, we're impacting I don't know, I think we got like maybe 50 downloads, which is like better than nothing. Like,
come on. It's better than the zero we had the few weeks before we even had a podcast. So I think I'm happy enough. Especially like for me, like I've never done anything like this. So to even have like one or two people text you and be like, oh, I like what you're doing, keep it up or whatever. Like, that, Jesus Christ, that's mad. It is cool. Yeah. Anyways, episode 4 today, we are trying to talk about how to just start. Like, we kind of, the whole mantra and idea behind Tussock, I feel like, Dara, you can go into this more, but it's encouraging people to just start on their own journeys and to, I mean, it's what the word is, you know? So I think today, if we can shed a bit of light on how to just start something, you know, it doesn't have to be starting a Forbes 500 fucking massive business straight away. Like, it can be something small, but understanding how to do that, I think, is really important, because if people don't know how to start, then it might be a bit discouraging on how to just to even do it, you know. So I think if we have a clear path about how to get into something and how to start something new or that's outside our comfort zone, I think that we can provide a bit of value today. So yeah, Dara, I know you've written on this before, so hopefully you can kind of introduce it to us and kind of share your thoughts, and I'm going to be happy to chirp in throughout the podcast and let's have a conversation about it.
I think it's important that we start this, like, obviously this is our first real episode in a way, you know. The first one was just an introduction. The next two were kind of just an introduction to me and you. And I think the whole aim of Tussock, like, the whole reason why it started was that I wanted to just start something. And that's where the idea came from. You know, I remember I was telling my friend yesterday, like, how it started, and I want to tell the story a bit more, because it's important that people understand that, like, again, I'm no better than anyone else. Or if you're listening to this podcast, like, I don't view myself as someone who's achieved this massive thing or who's, you know, created this massive business, because I haven't just yet. But I think it's important for people to understand that the only reason I am here and we're doing this podcast and I've been posting on socials is that back in January 23, when I had my little fucking meltdown and I journaled for 3 days and realized that I wasn't the person that I actually wanted to become. I was just putting on a facade, and I was trying to be, I was soft. Like, realistically, I was soft, and I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. And I think it was good that happened to me at whatever it was, 20, 21. Because a lot of times that happens when you're like 26, 27, you have your job, you're with your girlfriend for 5 years. You're like, fuck, like,
midlife crisis.
What do I do? You know? Exactly. Yeah. So I had my midlife, I called it a quarter life crisis. I'm just preempting 100 years. but what's it called? Yeah. So, yeah, I was sitting in my dorm room in the last college, and I remember just like the goal I set myself. I think we talked about this was start something hard and stick to it.
Okay. Now,
that's not a great goal because it's so vague. Like, what does that mean? Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think when we talk about setting goals and creating goals, it's like you need to have structure. You need to have, you know, it needs to be time specific and all that stuff. And I was just like, start something hard and stick to it. I didn't know what that meant, didn't know what it was. And the whole idea of just like, you know, I wanted to change the person who I was. And if I can impact a few people along the way, then I'll do it. And then I know I spoke to my dad and he was like, you need to start a brand. And I was like, come on, like, I'm not starting. Everyone is talking about a personal brand. Everyone's posting on their own accounts. Yeah. And he was like, no, start a brand. And it's funny, like, I was thinking of all sorts of names for it. Like Greek names and like Latin and Spanish names. And yeah, the word Tussig just came to me. I thought like, okay, well, I want to be someone. I want to achieve something. So how do I get there? And the first way to get there is to just start. So that's kind of where the name came from. Tussig, obviously, like I said last week, whatever, I Americanized it, took out the H and the A. So it made it easier for people to kind of understand, even though they still butcher it.
But, yeah, I'm sure, yeah.
I think it's cool, like I said, that we're starting from now where people can really get to know the brand because it's a brand. Yeah. It's not me. Tussig is a lifestyle, is a people can associate with the brand because it has this core message of if you want to achieve something great, the only way you can do it is by just starting, regardless of the obstacles in your way, regardless of the people that are trying to bring you down. Like if you just want to do anything, if you want to get out of bed, if you want to have a cold shower, like it can be applied to absolutely everything. You have to just start, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think having a brand and having a core message behind what we're trying to do or what I'm trying to tell people, it's cool. And like I said, people can associate with it. So I think that's why we and I wanted to start the first real episode with, you know, just start, because it literally is the whole mantra of the brand and it is how I live my life now. And I think it's important for people to know as well that like I am like living proof of what the brand stands for. And I think it would be disservice to me if I was putting out this message and doing all these things on social media and actually not doing it in real life, because I think there's plenty of influencers who do that, not naming names. And I think living the brand is so important. And I think that's why, again, I wanted to start this first episode with just start.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that. And I think, I don't know about you, but I think there's no better place to start than kind of understanding or having some sort of clear picture about like what you want to start. Because I think like, I think you need to, whether, and I think that can be anything. I think that's a message that I want to get across is like, you don't have to, just starting doesn't mean making a massive business or learning how to build a rocket. Like it can literally be like, I want to become more self-aware, or I want to get fitter. I want to be able to run a 5K, or I want to get in the gym more or whatever, you know? And I think having a sense of what you want to do first is really important. You need to understand what you actually want to do, because if you don't understand what you want to do or where you want to go, then it's going to be really hard to go to that place. I'm not saying that you need to know the final destination, because who knows what we're capable of. And sometimes when we're on a journey, we learn that we're capable of things for much further, much greater than we ever anticipated at the start of the journey. But I think kind of you need to know the path in which you want to set off on. because then I think if you don't know that, I think the whole idea of just starting can be a bit daunting, because if you're aimlessly starting something, it's going to be really hard for that thing to like be like long lasting and for you to be consistent at it. So I think the first thing you need to do is understand what you want to get better at, understand what you want to start, understand what you want to do. And then you can go from there. And I think once you understand that, I would then go to goal setting. I don't know about you, but for me, that would be where I'd be going. And I can only relate this to my experience with coming to America, is when I set out with America, that was, you have to, like, in order to complete a goal and complete something that you want to be able to do, I think you need to chunk it up into long-term goals, medium-term goals, and short-term goals. And for me, and I'm going to relate back this back to America, because this is the thing that I learned from, you know? So America was the goal. That was the goalpost down the other side of the football pitch. And that was something, like, that's the thing that gets you out of bed in the morning, right? So once you've kind of put down on paper what you want to achieve, like the biggest goal, right? That's that. And you just stick that in the back of your mind. And that's the thing that gets you out of bed in the morning, right? And that's what you're constantly aiming towards. But there's for a lot of people, there will be a big gap in between where you are now and where that goal is. Because that goal might be something that you might even half believe that you're going to be able to achieve. So being able to, you need to kind of take steps to get towards that goal, right? And it's kind of like the little steps on a ladder. You need to be able to get up those steps of the ladder to reach the top. And that's where the medium-term goals come in. So medium-term goals are the things that you can kind of quantitatively look at 3 months, 6 months, 9 months down the road and be like, okay, I've ticked off this box. I've done this. I've done this. I've done this. And those are the markers that get you close to that long-term goal, the thing that you really want to achieve, the big dog. And then, so you have your long-term goal, that's in the back of your mind. And then you have your medium-term goals. And those are the things that you can kind of tick off and kind of understand now that you're getting closer to that big goal. And then you finally have your short-term goals. And this is the day-to-day stuff. This is where the grind comes in, you know? This is the stuff where you put on your calendar. As you'll learn as this podcast goes on, I'm a planner to the max. And I don't know, it might be a good thing, it might be a bad thing. But like, man, I'm meticulous in the way in which I plan my days. And yeah, man, it can be fucked at times because I'm on my computer being like, okay, I'm writing on my Google Calendar, 7 a.m., get up, fucking breakfast at 7:15, go to the gym, go to class, whatever. But for me, this is all part of it. You know, you need to understand the areas of the day, because the short-term goals are the things that you're going to do in the day-to-day to get better, to achieve those medium-term goals. So having a plan then to set out to achieve those short-term goals, whether that's getting out of bed early, fucking eating healthy, cold shower, rest and recovery, stretching, whatever, all of that stuff, that's where, like, this is where the stuff that you need to, like, plan out in order to get close to those medium-term goals. And then the long-term goal will look after itself, because I think if we're constantly looking at that long-term goal, it can sometimes be a bit daunting, being like, fuck, man. I have a goal to run a marathon, but I can't even run 5K without walking for 5 minutes. You know, I can't do that at the minute. So like, it can be a bit daunting if you're that far away. So that's why you need to then focus on your medium term goals and your short term goals, in case you're ever getting a little bit flustered of being like, Jesus, being able to run a marathon, that's years away. I'm never going to be able to achieve that. But don't worry about that. That'll get, like, you'll be able to get closer to that as time goes on. You know, so just focus on the day to day, focus on the short term goals that you'll be able to get, like, the little 1% every day that you can get better on. And then, yeah, the goal will just automatically and naturally come closer to you.
I think it's so important that you've like outlined and you've shown people that, like, that goal can be the goalpost, the other side of the pitch, because, like, on one hand, it's great to have that vision of the end goal. But I think as you go through those short-term and medium-term goals, you'll actually realize that the long-term goal might actually change.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like when I started this thing, I was like, I didn't really have a massive long-term goal for it. But since I've navigated my way and learned these new skills or whatever, it's created a goal. It's created a 10-year goal. And then I've been able to back, okay, 5 years, I have to do this by then. And then day to day, I'm the exact same as you. Man, you should see, I use like the Notion app that we use.
Mm-hmm.
It has a calendar like function. And I plan everything. Like, you should see my calendar from, like, I get up at six, from six to six, it's blocked hour. And it's great because you get your shit done, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think one thing that I'm definitely guilty of, and I think it'd be important to highlight, is that the best part about like achieving something, and like, I'm not saying that I've achieved anything massive, but the best part about achieving something is actually not the day that you achieve it. It's like those day-to-day wins and enjoying the process of the goal is like, mm-hmm. is so rewarding. And I think, you know, it's hard to say that as someone who like obviously getting up early in the morning when it's cold out is not enjoyable. Like, mm-hmm. no one who gets up and gets in the ice bath at 5 a.m. like those people, like, they don't enjoy that, but they do it because they know that day by day, and it's like stacking, it's like building a wall, like brick by brick, mm-hmm. they'll get to that success. Yep. And I think it's funny, you know, people are lazy. Like, at the end of the day, people are lazy. And of course there's times where I'm lazy and I don't want to get up. And I'm not saying that, again, every single morning I wake up and I'm like, come on, like,
mm-hmm.
let's go, let's get this day started. Like, there's days where I just want to stay in bed. But I think you're right in having that end goal, having that one vision, like, and it's cool. I have a whiteboard like on my wall there, and I have mm-hmm. short term, medium term, long term goals written on it.
Oh yeah.
And I have like it sectioned off, like my to-do list, I have my ideas, like, you know, whatever. And then it's goal sheet, like a whole half of the whiteboard is just short term, medium, long term. So mm-hmm. every morning I wake up, it's dark outside, flick on the light, like that's the first thing I see.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was one of the best purchases I've ever made is that whiteboard.
Yeah.
It stares back at you. Do you know what I mean? That goal is staring back at me. So it's like when I wake up, if I say, okay, I'm going to get back into bed, and I look across the wall and I see that goal, it stares back at me and it says, get up. Mm-hmm. So I think, again, it's cool. Like having the long-term goal is so important, but be willing to change that goal based on the outcomes of your medium and short-term, and enjoying that day by day, you mm-hmm. know, brick by brick is so important.
Yeah, no, I love that. And this is one thing that I would say that I would advise people can take this and throw it away if they
the
like
the guru fella.
yeah, but something like, if I think we need to look at goals and understand like what we're trying to achieve, in the sense that like I think that the long-term goals, I think goals can be categorized into two things, right? Realistic goals and aspirational goals. And this is something that I've talked to my kind of coach about a lot, is that there are two types of goals you can go for: a realistic goal and an aspirational goal. And realistic goal is like, I want to shave 2 minutes off my 5K PB time, and I'm going to do this by going on a run 3 times a week, and each time I'm going to try and run 10 seconds faster or whatever. And that's going to be, and it's going to be this many weeks until I get to shaving that many minutes off my 5K PB time. So a goal that like is very achievable, and I know that if I put in the effort that I'm going to be able to do that, right? That's a realistic goal. You mightn't even be brave enough to tell the lads that you're trying to achieve this goal, right? And this is the fucking good stuff now. Because the aspirational stuff, this is the stuff that you go to bed thinking of and you wake up thinking of. This is the stuff that you're going to fucking, like, this is, for me, this is America. Because when I was 16, 17, man, like I said in the last episode, I was shit at tennis, so I didn't really know that if America was going to be an option for me, you know? This is the stuff that motivates you to get better. And aspirational goals, like, it can be, it needs to go way further beyond what you actually think you're capable of achieving. And I think that's, important, like what you were saying, was the goalposts can change, because quickly as you start going on your own journey, you're going to be realizing that you're much more capable of things that you initially thought you might be capable of. So those aspirational goals, like this could be for you, like an aspirational goal, starting a fucking media company. Like who, like what?
Yeah, I know.
You know next door nothing about starting a media company, and now, or software, or whatever you're doing now. Like that's aspirational, you know? I think being bold enough to have those dreams is really, really important. I think this is the, because this is the stuff in life that's worth talking about, you know, like these aspirational goals that we're like, Jesus, is, because now you tell
goosebumps.
Me, right? I don't think there's anything better than achieving something that at the start of the process, you actually didn't know if you're going to be able to achieve. For me, that's the most rewarding thing. Because you know that little minute before you start something and be like, oh, I'm a bit nervous. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. And then you go and smash it and you go and do it. Like proving yourself right that you're able to achieve something that is visibly hard and visibly going to challenge you and question, like you're going to question yourself and stuff, but still being able to be resilient enough and persevere enough to do something good. There's nothing more rewarding, I don't think, in life, to be honest.
I 100% agree. I know that, like, I think it's kind of cliche, but like having a mission, like having, like, I think a mission is different than a goal. And I think,
okay,
like, especially starting Tussig, like initially it was probably a goal, but now it's more a mission of like, I'm going to do this thing. And I think it's hard for people to really grasp the, like, I think it's funny, we talked about like the dark and light energy, whatever it was last week. And I think having the mission is like this like deep feeling inside, like that people don't really understand. And, oh, Darry, you need to relax. Like you're too much, you're too intense, or, you're doing too much. But like when you find enjoyment and when you find like you get energy and you get, you know, you get just a feeling of like, I'm going to do this. It's, there's nothing better. And again, doing the things every single day to achieve that one thing. You're on this purpose. You're on this mission to just achieve this thing. And again, it might change over time, but like the amount of things you're going to learn along the way. And I think that's why, again, that's one of the cool things with when I started Tussig, let's say, when I started posting on social media, there was no way I was thinking, like I'm going to have a podcast. I'm going to, you know, media. I'm going to be looking at software. I'm going to be learning all these new. There was no way I was going to do that. It was just, I'm going to post a few things on social media. And then when I broke down, I was like, I want to start posting social media. How do I do that? Well, I need to learn how to make videos. How do I do that? So I learned how to make videos. And I think then it was, I wanted to learn how to write so I could write a newsletter. So I learned how to write a newsletter. Then, I learned more posting. I learned more techniques and how to frame. And again, I kind of became obsessed with it all. And that's why now we're starting this podcast. We learned the software. It's like when you start out with something and when you have, you know, like, let's look at it. Like Ronaldo had a dream of being the best player in the world. When he was like four, he was not the best player in the world. He couldn't kick a ball. He couldn't do a step over. He couldn't jump as high as he eventually could. But he got there. And I think people forget that. He couldn't kick a ball when he was four. Yeah, he could probably kick a ball at six better than all the other six-year-olds. But at four, at three, he couldn't. And he had that one goal. And no one was getting in the way of him achieving that one goal. No one, like not even his friends who were saying, you know, come go for drinks, or you don't need to go training tonight. You're the best player. It doesn't matter. He was like, no, fuck that. I'm going to achieve this goal and I'm going to get there. And I think there's a certain level, like we can look at Serena, or we can look at the three fucking the three big boys in the men's tennis side. We can look at like Disney, we can look at Steve Jobs. Like these are like a level above what people think. Like people think, oh, I'm just a nobody and these people are just above me. But it's like they were nobody at one stage. And to get to the level that they wanted to get to,
yep,
they had to start. And it was literally take that first step of learning the one thing, learning what a, like, first, let's say Steve Jobs, it was learning what a computer is, learning how to type, learning then how to code. And it's like stacking those tiny little skills and tiny little bricks every day, every week, every year. And yep, over the course of, I don't know, 5, 10, 15 years, you'll look back and you say, fuck, I achieved a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, when people who were looking around and saying, no, he needs to relax. He's doing too much. He's going to go nuts. He's going to go off the rails. But again, when you get energy and when you find enjoyment in that pursuit of the goal, of the mission,
mm-hmm,
man, your whole life is just consumed by it. Yep. And it's not a bad thing. I think, again, we need to preface that it's not a bad thing to be consumed and be in love with the idea of getting better and improving and achieving something. Because yeah, I think sometimes it's kind of demonized. You know, what do you think about that? Do you think like some people like are a bit soft in a way and are a bit like, no, you need to relax. Like you need to have your rest days. You need to have your time off. Like what do you think of that?
I think that's a bit of a multifaceted problem, because oftentimes when someone talks to you and being like, nah, you're doing too much, you need to take it easy, take a chill day, you're putting too many eggs in one basket, whatever, a lot of the mm-hmm time, unfortunately, and you need to know this about people in society or whatever, most of the time when someone's bringing it down and saying, no, don't keep working, whatever, they're speaking about their own insecurities and they're projecting it on you. So if you understand that,
love it,
you need to just instantly call them off and be like, thank you for your input, I appreciate that, but I know that I want to achieve this and I'm going to stop at nothing until I do achieve this. And I'm not saying that you are going to work 24 hours a day for a whole year and you're never going to sleep, because we need to still need to enjoy life, right? I'm here on this planet for probably an average of 85 years or whatever until I fuck off and die or whatever. But like, I need to enjoy the short amount of time that I have on this planet. Yeah. So I think that can be taken one of two ways, because I have to preface that's just a personal thing that I believe where I'm going to get the most enjoyment out of life. I know that I want to enjoy my life. I'm still going to work and try and work harder than anybody that's beside me or whatever to achieve a certain goal. And when I have a goal, I won't stop at anything until I achieve that goal. But also I want to enjoy my life. I want to have a family. I want to have kids. I want to like kind of enjoy everything that life has to offer. So personally, I'm not a Steve Jobs. I'm not a Michael Jordan. Mm. I'm not a Ronaldo, because for me, sometimes I think that they might miss out on like aspects of their life that they might be like enjoyment out of life, but that's a personal thing. So I think firstly you need to understand like how much you're willing to sacrifice and give up in reward for that thing that you achieve, because like we look at Ronaldo, we look at Michael Jordan, we look at any great sporting person or business person or whatever, and on the surface they look like they are the biggest success in the world. But yeah, Ronaldo is a fucking incredible footballer, but for all we know he's a shit dad. And he doesn't see his son ever. And he's shit with his money, or he's a shit person to his, I don't know if he's got a wife or girlfriend. I don't know. I don't follow him, but like this sort of thing, you know? So we look at the greats, but I think you need to understand that the greats don't have it all worked out either. They're amazing in one aspect of their life, but that doesn't automatically mean that they're great in all aspects of your life. Mm-hmm. And I think you need to understand that when you look at influencers and stuff. So I think there is definitely a point, like you said, when people call you off and be like, nah, you're trying too much, you're doing too much. I do think that a lot of the time that speaks to an insecurity within them, because they don't have the courage within themselves to go after what they might want to achieve. So that because they're too scared to go and do what they want to do, they therefore have to try and drag everybody back down to their level. I think that is a really big point. But then also I think you need to understand who you are and what you're willing to sacrifice and give up, because for me, I'm not a Michael Jordan. I'm not a Serena. I'm not a Bill Gates. I I want to enjoy the things in my life. I want to have a well-rounded life. You know, I want to, like I said, have a family, have a kids, have a whatever I can, whatever job that leads me into or whatever. That's what I want to do. I don't see myself working tirelessly and not sleeping for 3 months to just try and code some website to try and become a multi-billionaire. That's not me. So I think you need to figure out what you want to do and then how much you're willing to sacrifice before you start giving into a goal. I also think that with goals and stuff, like it can be daunting if you are wanting to just start. I think we need to kind of ground ourselves here in this conversation that we're having a little bit, because it can be daunting if we're talking about like, yeah, you need to work hard, like all this sort of stuff. You don't need to go and reach for the moon the very first time you're starting. If you're 21 year old person or like a young person or whatever, and you're just trying to start something, you don't have to go to the moon to feel this great sense of accomplishment. You know, you can get up before 9 o'clock every day.
Just listen to our podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Just listen to our podcast, you know, like just go in the cold shower for a week and see how that helps you. Try and, like I said, shave 2 minutes off your 5K personal best. Like you don't have to start a multi-billion euro company to feel that success. Like just starting something doesn't mean starting fucking everything, you know. You can do little things to still feel like feel fulfilled within yourself, you know. And I think it can be daunting to look at the top six, the most successful people in the world, because they're like, fuck, between me and them, I'm not going to be able to get to that. But you can take things away from their story, because there are certain things that are consistent with everybody and in whatever you start, having the courage to start and having the resilience to keep going and push through. And then that's where consistency comes in. So I think consistency is the main winner in the game in whatever you want to start. If you're consistent enough with something, it's only a matter of time before you succeed. There's no such thing as failure if you want something badly enough, you know? Talk to me about consistency. How do you feel consistency plays into your kind of just start mantra and all of that?
Consistency is a great word, and I wasn't consistent when I, like, probably the last 2 years, I would do things for a few weeks and then I'd sack them off because I wasn't good. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, like looking back now, like obviously I got to a level of playing ball because I was consistent. Mm-hmm. I trained 4 or 5 nights a week and I played a game every single week, probably for the last 15 years of my life.
Yeah.
So of course I'm going to be like pretty good at something if I do something every single week for 15 years, you know? And I think I love the word consistency. And I think you mentioned like courage, there is another great word. I also love the word persistent, like persistence, because I think consistency is great, just doing something every single day, but there's going to be challenges, you know, you're going to face obstacles and roadblocks, but if you're persistent, like you're going to be consistent at overcoming those little obstacles that are along your way, and you're going to keep going. Mm-hmm. You're going to persevere like the whole time, regardless of, you know, the challenge and the things that you face, because I think that's one thing, you know, we see a lot of the time on social media, a lot of the time, like winners are always like shown, if you know what I mean. Like people always want to see a winner. Like, you know, they never interview someone like the people who get knocked out of the last 16 in the World Cup. They never interview them. They always interview the winners, or they interview the Wimbledon winners. Or they interview, you know, when their company goes public and the shares are fucking $1,000 a share. It's like, that's the only time you're interviewed. You're not interviewed when you are sitting in a room and you're coding your website, or the hours and hours that you spend practicing your serve or practicing your free kick. It's like, those times are the most important, yet people don't really see them. And I think that's why when people go to start something, they just think, okay, I'm going to be a Wimbledon champion. or I'm going to build this business into a $1 billion business and I'm going to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
But people don't really like see and understand the tiny, tiny little steps that go into doing that. And I think I love that you mentioned the word courage, because I think having the courage to start, having the just like ability and the willingness to be open to failure, yep, is so, so important.
Yeah, I love that.
And I think like I've definitely failed plenty of times, you know, and I'm sure you have, and I'm sure Steve Jobs have, I'm sure Ronaldo has. And I think, mm-hmm, again, people don't really see the failures. And yep, I think that's partly why I wanted to start, you know, documenting the journey, documenting whatever the fuck I'm doing, like, is because like letting people know that like I actually don't know how to build a software company.
Yeah.
Like I don't. But I'm going to build it, so I'm gonna learn how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna take the time. I'm gonna take 400 steps back to learn, yep, before I can actually build this thing. And I think if we can show people that more, if we can show to people like hold my hand up, I don't know how to do this thing,
yeah,
but I'm going to do it because I'm, mm-hmm, going to just start, and I'm going to, yep, like I said, embrace the failure, because embracing the failure and embracing the challenge and the obstacles that are put in your way, like I'll let you speak on it, but like failure is like so important, and, mm-hmm, and learning to fail is just as important as learning to win,
yep,
because it's those failures that teach you how to win. And like looking back now, like what do you think was like your biggest failure that led to like a massive success? Was there like one thing that,
good question,
you realized that was like, fuck, like I'm going to learn from this now, or in the moment was like, my life is over. One of them ones.
Jesus, Dara, I'm getting motivated here now. I'll run the fucking marathon. I'm getting so fucking...
Well, that's the whole plan. No, that's the whole plan for this podcast, is to get the people at home to go, let's go, come on.
Yeah, no, exactly. Look, I think before I started about failure and stuff, I think courage, man, if I could get courage tattooed across my forehead, I would. That is, it's been the backbone of... I mean, it is the backbone of every decision that you'll ever make. Courage is the ability to do something no matter, and no thought about any subsequent like consequences outcomes, that may arise, yeah, you know? Courage is having the bravery to go and do something that's outside your comfort zone, that no matter any uncertainty that might be here or might be there, you know? Courage drives you no matter how you're feeling, and having the courage is the ability to go do something with no regard for the future, you know. I think if you start something and you start at zero and you fail, well, you're no worse off than you were when you started that journey, right? Like at the start of this podcast, myself had zero viewers or listeners. If we go and do this podcast in six months, we've done an episode every week and we still have zero listeners, we're no worse off than we started. And we've also learned a shit ton about how to do a podcast and whatever. Now, I hope we will have got more than zero viewers in 6 months' time. But you know what I mean? Like if you're starting from scratch and you objectively fail on whatever you determine a failure is, whatever, we could get more into that. But if you fail from zero, you're no worse off than you were at the beginning. So why not just give it a go? I also think that like if you, and I'll say this a lot, like if I look at myself on my deathbed and I didn't do things that tested me and got me outside my comfort zone and challenged me and things that really required a lot of courage, I'll be disappointed in myself, because like that's the stuff that in life is worth talking about, you know? And then also I think that, because I want to talk about, and I'll answer your question now. I'm going on a bit of a tangent here, but I want to talk about the barriers to starting, because I think there's a lot that, and I think that's kind of the biggest amount of friction that there is the kind of the just starting, because that's the hardest part. Once, like the biggest, if I study biology or whatever in college. And I think there's like, there's activation energy, right? In any chemical reaction, there's activation energy. And activation energy is based upon the biggest like peak and the biggest bit of friction that might require the reaction to take place. And after you get over the biggest hump, the biggest hill, the biggest amount of friction, it's easy. I'm not saying it's easy from there, but you've got over the hardest part. You can now just keep going. Once you've started, then success is only a matter of time until you get there. So just being able to start is really important. And sometimes we don't have the confidence to start or the courage to start. But I don't think you're ever going to get the confidence to start until you've actually started. And I know that might be a little bit hard to understand, but from a science point of view, confidence is, and Alex Hormozi said this on a podcast once, and I fucking have it on my wall and everything, like, if I can remember the quote properly, confidence is built by having a stack of undeniable evidence that you are who you say you are. Outwork your self-doubt, right? So if we, and you talked about this well, like kind of building the, putting the foundation blocks in and building a really strong building, confidence is only built from things that we have proof of looking back on and being like, yeah, no, I did this, you know? So being able to prove to yourself that you are worth this, or you are capable of doing this, or you are able to do something, is so much more valuable than looking yourself in the mirror and being like, I'm a good person, I'm really fast. I think there's this whole, and I'm not saying it's useless, right? But I think there's this new kind of thing coming out now, and it's all about positivity and stuff. And I think this goes back to what you were saying about people being soft. I think that's a scapegoat of trying to improve yourself, is self-affirmation. And I'm not saying there's no place for it. I think there is. But I don't think that can be the root of improving your self-confidence and improving your ability to get better as a person. I think if we look in the mirror constantly and tell ourselves we're great, we've got nothing to prove to ourselves that we're great. So why would we believe that? If I gave you a 1 euro coin and I was like, Dara, I want you to believe that that's a 2 euro coin, you're not going to believe it. Like, you can't. It's so hard to change your beliefs you can't change a belief that you have in yourself just by that. I've changed my belief, you know? It's changing beliefs are made by having a stack of undeniable proof. So what that means is we do things day on day on day, little esteemable acts, and that can be drinking 2 liters of water. That can be making your bed if you said you were going to make your bed. That can be journaling every night if you said you were going to journal. Little things that build up this stack of proof that we are actually good enough and we are actually capable. That's what's going to build confidence. And to tie it all up in a nice little bow for you, you can only do that by just starting, right? You can only do that by getting over the activation energy and just starting on your journey. And as time, that's when confidence is. Confidence is a feeling. It's something that comes and goes. So why rely on confidence to activate something or start something or to push something? It's something that it's not sustainable. It's going to come and go. So let's look back on what we know about ourselves and what we believe in ourselves. And I believe that I'm good enough to run a 5K under 20 minutes because I did it and I was close to it or whatever. I know I'm good enough. So that's kind of having the courage to go for it. Sometimes we rely on confidence to have courage, but you don't need confidence to kind of start something. That was a bit of a tangent. My biggest failure. Here we go. Biggest failure, my biggest failure was, and I think I'd probably count myself as lucky, getting dropped from the Dubs. When I was younger, I think if I've lived nearly 22 years of my life, and I can say that getting dropped by the Dublin team when I was 16 years old is my biggest failure, I think I count myself pretty lucky. So I would just want to state that, like, I do count myself fortunate and grateful for that being my biggest failure. However, I did learn a lot from that, and that did teach me that, and it didn't come to light in football, but it came to light in other aspects of my life, that I knew that if I wanted to work at something and get better, I just had to outwork myself down. And that's why I wanted to talk about confidence as having that stack of undeniable belief, is because when I was on the Dubs, I didn't believe any of that myself. I had no confidence at all. I didn't believe in I was able to do anything. So I learned from that. And then when I was working on my tennis journey, then when I switched over to the tennis and focused on that, I understood that I was only ever going to get more confident within myself with tennis and in life in general by having a stack of proof that I was good enough, that I was capable and competent to complete a tennis match or win a tennis match or do anything in life, you know? So yeah, kind of, I took away that I just had to, you just have to outwork any self-doubt that you might have. And that can only be done by the fucking grind of like working nonstop, and where that kind of obsession comes in. So yeah. How about you? Where's your biggest failure coming from?
So the reason I asked that question was because I wanted you to highlight that the loss or the failure was a lesson. And it was the exact same for me. Like, my biggest failure was coming over here first and not playing for 2 years because like the hardest part for me, I might have spoken about this in the last episode, but the hardest part for me was knowing that I was good, but not being able to show anyone. So no one in my last school knows how good I was because I didn't play. And I'm rusty now. Like, I'm not as probably good as I was back in the day, but it was very, very hard for me at the moment, knowing that everyone else here thinks I'm shit because I'm not playing, you know? And it was hard. It was very, very, very fucking hard. And again, literally the exact same as you, that lesson or that failure didn't teach me something like right there and then. You know, I was going through that low, I was going through that failure, thinking like, fuck, like, this is bad, like, my life is shit, blah, blah, blah. And it was only after time and after I started this journey that I'm on that I look back on that experience and I'm actually grateful for the failure. Now, I think if someone's listening to this and being like, how the fuck can you be grateful for one of the biggest failures in your life? That's where your mindset needs to shift. Mm-hmm. It's how can I accept? I think the first step in like getting better, and this is definitely in my case, the first step that I took was like accepting that all that shit happened. Just being like, it happened. It's okay. Like, whatever happened, it happened. I cannot influence the past anymore. So it's like, what can I do to get better? Like, I am where I am right now. What can I do to get better? The only way I was going to do that was by just starting and getting on this journey that I'm on. And I think, again, hindsight is great. You know, hindsight is the best thing ever, because I can look back and say, I'm grateful that I was in that situation and that I was at the lowest point of my life. Like, I'm grateful for that. And it's like I said, the reason I asked you was because I wanted to highlight and I wanted to make an important note of like how important the failures are in the journey to success. And I think success is relative. Like, what does success mean? If success means you just live a good life, like you have a good family, you have an enjoyable career, you have good friends, like success, that is success to someone. Building a $1 billion company, building a massive empire. Like, fair enough, that's success for you. And I don't think we can judge or we can, I think when you're in a position where you're stable within yourself, you wouldn't judge someone on their version of success. You'll only judge yourself on your version of success. And I think I'm at a place where, like, I obviously want to like build this massive thing, build a business, whatever. And I think, again, that's my end goal right now, but that might change in 6 months' time as we continue to do this or as I do the other things. And I know that I would not have been able to do this or build the thing that I want to build without that failure that happened 2 years ago. And I think it's super important that we've brought that up and how the failure has actually led us to success, because I think a lot of people will have consistent failures. And it was the exact same for me. I was like, I'm injured. I'm getting injured again. I'm getting injured again. And people were talking or whatever. And like, it all just piled up and piled up and piled up. Like, just like a weight on my shoulders was just piling up. And it was almost like when I just accepted it, the weight just like, and I was like able to like, not see the end goal, not see the mission or the vision. But I was able to just like see that first step, that first thing to do, mm-hmm. which I think for me, it was just I listened to a podcast. I think I seen on YouTube. It's on YouTube that weekend where I was just so sick and I journaled. I seen like people actually living like the life that I wanted to live.
Okay.
And I was like, how are they doing that? Like, how are they actually there? I think that's where it all came from. I'm literally just thinking about this now. It's like, mm-hmm. I was just curious of how these people actually got there. And that encouraged me to then, I think I bought some books on Amazon. And then I just start listening to podcasts. It was just so simple. Like, when you think about it, mm-hmm. buying a book for 15 quid and just reading it for 10 minutes a night. Like, it's such a simple task, but literally that task, that night, that 10 minutes a night for a month straight is now getting me and allowing me to create a podcast.
Yep.
Like, that's wild to even think that and create something even bigger than a podcast. And it's like, I think when you break it down and when you literally take the first step, that may be such a small, incomprehensible task. Like you mm-hmm. mentioned, making your bed, like having a cold shower or not snoozing your alarm. Like
yeah.
those things are such tiny steps that when piled up over time can be massive and can yep. just continuously lead to you creating new habits, creating new skills, learning new skills, meeting new people, opening yourself up to new opportunities. And then you'll look back. It'll spring on you like that. The mm-hmm. the goal or the mission that you had will come and you'll look back and you'll say, whoa. You know?
Yep.
I think that's gonna be the cool moment. Like, I'm definitely not at that moment yet. Mm-hmm. but I can look back and say, and like you mentioned, like that undeniable proof, like
yep.
not looking in the mirror and just telling yourself, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. It's like, I'm looking back and saying, well, I posted every week or I journaled every single night for this period of time. And it's like, knowing that can just push you on to do the next thing 100%. And the next thing and the next thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's really valuable what you've just said there. I think firstly, I think, and this whole thing with the podcast in general, I think you firstly need to decide, do you actually want, like, do you want to change? Do you want to get better? If you don't, no problem at all. Myself and yourself or whatever, I'm absolutely no judge of you or your character or whatever. I'm just here for the people that do maybe want to get better and maybe be a bit more curious about themselves and start better lifestyles and whatever. And if I can help in any which way possible, I'd love to do that. But if you don't want to, if you just want to stay where you are, maybe you're happy. That's great. That's fucking fantastic. Oh, that's great. Maybe you're stagnant, but you're still not really there that you want to change yet. Grand, no bother. Come back to us when you are ready to change. Because I think it's a mindset, isn't it? Like you can't help someone that doesn't want to be helped. And that's one of the biggest lessons I've taken away in the last few years. Like, I love chatting to people and helping people and talking to people, but you can't help anyone that doesn't want to be helped, you know? And all the time, people have to get to that place themselves where they're ready to get better, where they're ready to be the best version of themselves. And unfortunately, you can't fix you can't help everybody. You can only kind of do it yourself. And so, yeah, I think the mindset of wanting to get better is needed firstly. And then it's sometimes the association with failure, like you said. I think we need to reframe what we think is failure, because if and I'm just putting these in easy context for like people to understand or whatever. Like, if I want to run a 5k in 25 minutes but I run it in 28, I need to look at that and be like, okay, that's not a reflection on myself. That doesn't make me a failure. I'm not a failure as a person. I've just not achieved this goal and I'm this many weeks out from achieving this goal. So you need to look at something that if you haven't achieved a certain outcome that you wanted to achieve, it doesn't make you, it's not a reflection on yourself, right? It's not a reflection on who you are as a person. You're not a failure as a person if you don't get something the first time. Failure is the most important thing to realigning your pathway to get into that goalpost. You know, it's so valuable. We have to fail. We have to, like, we have to fail to understand that we weren't going on the right path, because the earlier that we can do that, then the better chance we have at realigning ourselves to getting to the place where we want to go quicker. You know, failure is 100% a part of the journey, and you need to get away from fearing failure and fearing not being able to succeed, you know, because if you really want something bad enough, I'll always say this, there's no chance that you don't get it. It's just about how hard you're willing to work. And if you fail objectively the first time, that's grand, but try a million and one more times and you're probably likely to succeed. That, like, it's like, yeah, it's like anything in life, you know. If you're a salesperson and you try and you're going door to door, you're a door to door salesman, and you have to sell a phone book or something, and you go to two houses and both of them say no, you're like, fuck, I'm a failure. If you go to 150 houses, you're more than likely to have sold one phone book. So keep fucking trying. It doesn't make you a failure if you've the first few times that you fail. Just realign those goalposts is really important. I think failure is something that we need to dissociate ourselves with. I think also, like you said there at the end, with kind of that evidence, a friend of mine said to me recently that I think sometimes I'm guilty of not looking back and kind of appreciating the journey that you've been on so far. And I think it's really important to do that. I don't mean you need to do it every day and look back and be like, Jesus, I'm fucking class. Look at all this work I've done.
That's depression. That's depression, right there.
Yeah, you don't need to do that. But every so often, if you're on your journey, every so often, look back and look and be like, fuck, actually, I've achieved a good bit here. Like, I've been in the cold shower every day in the morning for 2 minutes for the last month. Look, that's actually fair play to me for being consistent enough for doing that. That's more than I thought I was capable of, or whatever. It can be something more extreme or less extreme, but appreciate the work that you're putting in, because that's so valuable. And that's part of what you were saying, is trusting that, like, or enjoying the process and not the outcome. This is where all the enjoyment comes out of it. Like, looking back, having the ability to look back and be like, I am better now than I was at the start of this journey. And that's the whole reason that you started the journey in the first place, was to get better in some capacity. So I think it is important to look back. And sometimes I'm guilty of it myself, like not looking back, you know. I'm guilty of just kind of having those kind of headlight tunnel vision glasses on and being like, keep going forward, keep achieving the next thing, go. But you need to look back and be like, no, actually I achieved this, and I'm better than I was at the start of the journey. Yeah, okay, there's a recognition that I'm not there, where I'm not where I want to be just yet, but I'm proud of myself for starting the journey and being 5 steps closer to success than I was yesterday. So yeah, I think it's important to look back and be proud of yourself for starting the journey as well.
Yeah, it's cool. Like, there's so many words like proudness, courage, persistency, consistency. Like, these are all just words that, you know, constantly are like flowing through my head. And obviously my head's a bit scrambled at the moment, I'm not gonna lie. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on. So it's like, knowing that, again, knowing that there's the mission, knowing that there's the end goal, like, always keeps me straight and keeps me like going, you know. And and definitely something that I'm guilty of, and I'm sure we're going to talk about this in another episode, but is when I have to do things that don't align with that mission, I'm like zoned out, and it's bad. It's not good, you know. Like, I love having these conversations with you, because we're talking about shit that I actually like talking about.
Yeah.
But if it's not football or if it's not this, I'm likely not going to be involved in the conversation.
Yep.
And on one hand, it's good. Like, yeah, I'm so focused on this one thing, on the mission. But on the other hand, there are people to be met, and there are experiences to be had that I wouldn't have if I didn't step outside that path, you know. And I think the serial entrepreneurs, the serial winners, don't at all. They just completely cut off anything that doesn't align with their mission.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely would. I like that mindset. It's kind of selfish, maybe, in a way, or it's kind of like fuck everyone, like kind of vibes. And and I don't really agree with that in a way, but I do like the whole, you know, if you're on your mission, like fucking, you're not going to stop until you achieve that. And I think it's going to be a challenge for me, and I'm excited to like kind of document it. Is like, can you balance the two? You know, you said you want to just like enjoy your life. You want to be a good dad. And like, I'm the same. Like, I want to be a good dad. I want to, you know, obviously have a family. I want to, but I also want to have this massive thing. And it's like, can you do both? Because I don't, honestly, I don't know many, many entrepreneurs or, you know, sports artists that do actually have both. And I think there's definitely a trade-off somewhere. Like, there has to be a trade-off somewhere. So I'm willing to be the guinea pig for the people, for the people, you know, to see where the trade-off is. Where the balance is, or where the trade-off is going to be. So I think it's going to be a cool journey, and it's going to be cool. Like, obviously I said, I made a short of the my episode there during the week. I was like, I think I said, what did I say? I was like, oh, I'm going to lose a load of friends here because they're going to think I'm a psychopath. You'll notice that the more episodes we get on, the more friends I'm going to lose, because they're going to think I'm fucking weird. But also, you open yourself up to new friends, and it's cool. Since Friday, since we started it, there's like probably three or four people who have just come up to me and said, I do this, I'd like to be involved. And it's like, wow, like that's fucking cool, you know? And I think again, like, it's like having the having Tussig, like, I'm not just preaching like I'm some preacher, you know, it's, I'm like talking about this thing, this brand identity that people can associate with, you know, and people want to be a part of it. And that's what I want to do. That's the whole aim of doing the podcast. Again, we talked about it. It's like to get a community, get people involved. It's like, I'm not trying to be this one leader. I'm trying to push this brand above and beyond more than I can think, and more than I think is possible. And I think, especially like with you, like we have these deep conversations, realistically they're deep conversations. And I think if people are genuinely interested in improving, they'll find the value in these conversations. We not may be able to market our podcast like Chris Williamson, or like, have you seen the production quality that he has? Oh my, he's spending crazy thousands on a video. And I'm like, on one hand, I could be like, fuck that, let's not do a podcast because we're never going to be like Chris.
Yeah, good point.
But like, I sent Kieran, for anyone who's listening now or in, I sent Kieran the Chris Williamson's first ever podcast. You can check it out on YouTube. And he's just sitting in a room with his mate.
One microphone.
And he has a mic in the middle.
Yeah.
And the audio is terrible. The lighting is terrible. It's like, but 700 episodes later, that's where he is. And I think it'd be cool to get to that stage, but knowing that we have to start, somewhere is like the best part. And I think that's again the message that we're trying to get across.
Yeah, definitely. I think all right, if we're to tie together and wrap it up nicely, for let's go back home. Let's say for any young lads in Dublin or anywhere, I guess, but any young lad that, or girl or whatever wants to start something. Like they want to start something, right? Could be, want to be a better footballer, want to start a business, want to improve my mental health. Talk to me about a couple of things, two or three things that are non-negotiables in whatever you're starting, whether that's a business, fitness, mental health, relationships. What are some things that you need to, what do you think are non-negotiables to achieve anything like that as we finish off this episode?
Yeah. I think it's definitely important to preface, like, we haven't achieved anything.
Yeah.
But we are better than where we started. And I think, well, the first thing, first of all, you need to like and share all these episodes and tell all your friends about Clusive, because you won't achieve anything if you don't do that.
No. Yeah.
The second thing is, I think understanding, like you said, understanding your goal, but understanding your mind, like how your mind actually works. Because I think that was the key for me, is like, a lot of time people are just roaming through life. They just waltz through life. They don't have any mission. They don't have any purpose. Go to school. People tell them what to do a lot of the time. And I think they just get the job that their parents told them to get them. And then they just, whatever. I think taking a step back and like understanding actually how your mind works and seeing something that you want to achieve is so important. And the way I done that was I journaled and I meditated. People think meditation is a bit woo-woo. I actually really like it. You don't see the results after one meditation, which is kind of cool.
It takes months.
A month, 2 months, 3 months down the line, you're more calmer, you're more composed. And I think that's definitely valuable. So I think the first thing you can do is like really, really understand how your mind works. I think going to a counselor is another good option. Like both of us have coaches. Like I've gone to see counselors before, and I think if you find one that works for you, like keep going, because there are a lot of shitty ones, to be fair. But I think if you find one that really works for you and that you resonate with, do it, because I think it's the best way to really understand your mind. The second thing probably is understanding that failure is part of the process. You know, once you go on that journey, once you set out your goal, if you're naive to the fact that you're going to fail, you're fucked, because you will fail. And I think I'm well informed in this is gone. I kind of have the opinion that it's gonna fail, and if it succeeds, it's like a bonus, because if I know that it's gonna fail, I'm gonna work as hard as possible for it to fail, and then I'm gonna learn and then go again. So I think being open and being ready to fail and knowing that it's gonna be shit and fail is good, because it'll push you on and it'll not discourage you from starting, because it's going to fail, but if you start and keep going with in the back of your mind knowing that it's going to fail, it's good, because you'll succeed once you fail. I love that point on the activation energy. We'll definitely clip that, by the way. But the third thing,
come on,
man. get
come
you a few followers.
I got a clip. I got a clip, people.
The third thing, I think, is just doing it. I think just starting. Like, obviously, it's great. It's cliche. Like,
just
whatever.
Start it. Talk about a lot, that's what the episode's called. Like, mate.
Just do it. Like, fuck it. Who cares? Do you know what I mean? Like honestly, who cares? You're going to be the one that's lying on your deathbed. You know, there's probably going to be like four people around you. Who gives a fuck about anything what anyone else says, you know? And I think it's funny that, like, I'm saying that as we've opened ourselves up to criticism and scrutiny on social media. It's like, but I don't care. I don't care what other people think of the podcast. Yep. It's great if people like it, and if they don't like it, fucking sound on your bike, like, do what you want to do. But I think, like, again, we're starting a podcast to just start a podcast, to just learn, to just do it. And it, again, we'll learn a skill, we'll develop relationships, we'll have something to be proud of in 100 episodes time, or in whatever, in a year's time, we can look back and see how much we learned. But we never would have done any of that if we had never started. And I think that's the perfect way to finish this episode. I'm sure we could waffle for hours, mate, honestly. It's terrible. But I think understand your mind, understand that it's going to fail, and just start regardless is probably the three things that you can do to achieve anything, honestly.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I wouldn't even add anything to that. I think that's great. I would say, in terms of just starting, and you were talking a bit there about expectation, one thing I live by, and this is something I've learned recently enough with my coach and stuff, is I try and live everything by keep your expectations low, but your standards high. And yeah. That's the only way you're going to achieve anything is expect nothing. You don't deserve anything, right? You have to earn, like you have to work for everything. So don't worry about any expectation. Don't worry about any outcome. That's so distracting. But keep your standards high and work your best in everything. Use everything as an opportunity to get better and just, yeah, work as hard as possible. And then, because if you expect something, you're only going to be led to disappointment, you know? So keep your expectations low. The outcome will look after itself, and keep the standards high. And yeah, like you said, don't let anyone just start. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Love it. Episode 4 done. Yeah. Come on, baby.
Do you know what? That was a good chat. And I
like that one.
Keep this in. That was a very good chat.
Yeah.
I feel like we could have a clip in every single thing that we said. But
plenty again, of it's just on the Instagram.
We're getting used to it. Like, and I think, the more we do it, the better we're going to get. And again, that's just such a valuable point for people to see and to understand. Like, we don't know what we're doing, and over time we're going to get better. And yeah, great chat. Episode number 4. I am glad that we could start the real episodes like this. We've so many more episodes.
A lot of ideas.
Like, we have a whole list. We have a load of ideas. And if there are ideas that people want us to talk about, fucking send them over. Like, again, both of us are open to DMs. The podcast page is open to DMs. Just send them. Let us in on what you want us to talk about. Like, we're exposing ourselves to criticism by telling our thoughts and all those things. So if there are things that people want us to talk about or highlight, fucking send them over. I'm excited to keep this rolling, keep meeting people, keep, you know, getting knowledge. Because again, I'm learning from you, and I hope hopefully you're learning from me too.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I'm hoping other people are learning too. And I think the fact that we're at this stage, episode 4, and I feel like we've had a very, very good conversation.
Mm.
I can only imagine what it's going to be like in 10, 15, 20 episodes.
Yeah, that'll be great.
So we'll keep going. Any final words?
Most importantly, please follow our TikTok, because I've got 2 likes so far, and I'm the one running the TikTok. So I've posted 2 clips and I've got 2 likes. So guys, please go over to the TikTok and follow that.
Please, please. We'll leave it at that.
Everyone, go.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you very much.
Good chat. And we'll see you in episode 5. Peace.
Peace out.